ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत Madhya Leela, Chapter 22, Text 36, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Akama sarva kamo va,
akama sarva kamo va,
moksha kama udara dhihi, tivrena bhakti yogena, Yajeta Purushang Param. Okay, translation. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or whether he desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Purport. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 10. I chose to speak on this verse today, being inspired by something I was told last night after the program we had in the Hanuman Temple in DD Colony, is it? Dilsuknagar. This is DD Colony, where we are now. DD stands for Doordarshan.
Durga Bhai Deshmukh.
Deshmukh means what? Deshmukhya?
One surname on Hamanga Brahmanas.
Oh, it's a Durga Bhai, not Bhai. Female. Anyway, I didn't inquire too much about that. There was a comment which was relayed to me by one student who started to attend our programs, who commented to one of our devotees, who relayed it to me, that he had said that, by Krishna's mercy, I finished top of my class. So I thought that would be good to discuss in relation to this famous verse. You may wonder why I chose to speak on it from as it's quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the purport is not really a purport. It doesn't give any explanation. It just gives the reference where it's from. Whereas in Bhagavatam, there is quite an extensive explanation of the verse. The reason I want to read also the verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita that follow this, that act as a purport. You'll find in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are these sections, just like this section is that of Sanatan Goswami's, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction to Sanatan Goswami, Sanatan Shikha, as it's known. That one point will be discussed from Bhagavatam, and then another point will be discussed, but it all flows one into another. It's very expertly done. From this we can see also by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami bringing out so many points which define the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, Gaurya Siddhanta. He gives in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he summarized all the important or the main philosophical points of the Sandarbhas, and given profuse references. Just this here, this is reference. He states the principle in Bengali just before this. This is verse 36 in this chapter. Verse 35 is Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Shubuddhi Jodi Hoy Garha Bhakti Jogi Tobe Krishna Re Bhajoy. And then Srila Prabhupada, as he often does, adds purport into the translation. He gives the translation, thus, due to bad association, the living entity desires material happiness, liberation, or merging into the impersonal aspect of the Lord. Or he engages in mystic yoga for material power. If such a person actually becomes intelligent, he takes to Krishna consciousness by engaging himself in intense devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna. And then the Akama Sarva Kamova verse is quoted. So Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, very brilliantly here, of course he's not trying to make a show of linguistic brilliance or literary brilliance, but it is literally brilliant in both senses of the word literally here. In which he makes one topic flow into the other and brings out references from Shastra, mostly from Srimad Bhagavatam, which really helps us to understand how Bhagavatam is the best of all scriptures, because it clearly delineates pure devotional service to Krishna in so many ways, so many points. There are quotes from here and there and other places also, but mostly from the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam, all the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which we may try to, we may, because we're so used to it by now, take it for granted, but even in other Puranas which describe the glories of Lord Vishnu, not exclusively as does Bhagavatam, or Vishnu Purana gives the glories of Lord Vishnu, but the philosophical treatment that's given in the Bhagavatam is, well, apart from the Bhagavatam clearly establishing Krishna as Bhagavan Swayam, but also philosophical teaching to help us understand all these points. And then all those teachings, the six Goswamis, particularly Jiva Goswami, he codified them, systematized them in the Sandarbhas, and then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has not such a systematic form because it blends with the chronological life story, for want of a better word, pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But all the points are there, very well presented. So I wanted to read that and just demonstrate that. These verses give a commentary on that. We may say that, well, yeah, it's I finished first in my class by the mercy of Lord Krishna. Yeah, that's one form of the mercy. Maya also means mercy. That's one of the meanings of Maya. So if we back translate it by Maya, I finished top of the class. The real mercy of Krishna is demonstrated, or is apparent, in someone who gives up all material desires. Here it's stated, akama sarva kamova moksha kama udara dhihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. It's a recommendation or an injunction. Whatever your situation is, you should intensely worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it might seem that it's recommending that it doesn't matter what situation you're in, you worship Krishna. That's true. But the point is that one should worship Krishna. Not the point isn't that whatever, all situations are the same. If we say whatever situation one may be in, one should worship Krishna. That's a fact. But there are two considerations here. One is whatever situation you're in, and the other is that one should worship Krishna. So out of the two, the important one is that one should worship Krishna. And whatever situation one's in, that's not the point. That you can be in any situation, it doesn't matter, because by worshipping Krishna, even those who are moksha kama, they desire liberation, impersonal liberation, or sarva kama, they're full of material desires, they should come to the position of being akama. Or akama means to have no desire, which is to be understood contextually, because the living being by nature has desires, so he has no desire other than to serve Krishna. So someone who's just coming to Krishna consciousness, like this student, is not expected that he understands the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Someone might pick it up very quickly, and just by associating with devotees for a short time can understand that, oh, yes, we're supposed to do everything for Krishna's pleasure. Someone, this whole material existence is meaningless, let us do everything for Krishna's pleasure. So someone, from a previous life, they have such good fortune that they already advanced to that stage, then just by associating with pure devotees, they will come to the level very quickly of understanding this. Others may take more time, because we're conditioned from previous lives and in this life to think that material enjoyment is the goal of life. And a particular manifestation of that in India, among the middle classes especially, at the present time, is the idea that one should get good qualifications in studies so that one can go on to get a good job, as it's called. I'm just quoting what they say. I don't believe in any such thing as a good job. So-called good job is just some cheating. But they're saying good job, which means they squeeze the blood out of you. Just like you see the sugar cane they put in, they squeeze it out, all the sugar. Then nowadays they do it by machine, but I think when they did it by hand it was more effective. And when there's nothing in there at all, even the cows won't look at it, again they put it in. And they fold it over double, triple, quadruple, and squeeze, and maybe one little more drop comes out. Then they throw it away. So that's your good job. Squeeze the last drop out. And then they throw you away. And the new ones out of university, they just got their degree. So they give them a job with absolutely useless pay, 2,000 rupees a month or something, which, when you first joined the workforce, 2,000 rupees was a huge salary. What was your first salary? Was 400. That was probably quite good, huh? We used to argue with the rickshaw wallahs over 25 paisa. Nowadays, no one even knows what 25 paisa is. Anyway, they give them some useless salary on the idea that it's training. And then they squeeze them and squeeze them and squeeze them, and they're completely finished after a few years. They throw them away and bring someone else at the same low salary. And then they can go and get another job and say, I have this much work experience. And they're still eager. They're still like a dog going for food. Yes, good job, good job. Anyway, people are very much conditioned by this. And they think, yes, if I become top, my aim is to become top of the class, and pious, associating with devotees, so he thinks that Lord Krishna's mercy is that I came top of the class. So Krishna's mercy is manifested in various ways. Krishna's full mercy is apparent in someone who has no material desires and has only the desire to serve Him. That's His full mercy. So we could say that, we could say to Him, well, if you had finished bottom of your class, that would have been more mercy. So that you can be disappointed and then think, oh, now I'm useless materially. Okay, let's try another line. How about the spiritual line? But if, to get some encouragement to pursue the material line is not really Krishna's mercy. It's, well, we can say it's a kind of mercy that materialistic people may like. Anyway, I said I would give the purport that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives. So let's discuss this or read it. Still got this. I still have desires that at least we should. At least we can have a dozen, or the arrangement for class can be just nice. Okay, so following on from this. Anna kami jade kare Krishna bhajan namagi teho Krishna tare den shacharan. If those who desire material enjoyment or merging into the existence of the Absolute Truth engage in the Lord's transcendental loving service, they will immediately attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, although they did not ask for it. Krishna is therefore very merciful. Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage bishoy shuk amrita chari bish mage e boro murk. Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendental loving service but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Indeed, he is just like a person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison. Ami biggo, e murki, bishoy kene dibo, shacharan amrita dia bishoy bhulaibo. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. And I'll read the purport to this by Srila Prabhupada. Those who are interested in material enjoyment are known as bhukti kami. One who is interested in merging into the effulgence of Brahman or perfecting the mystic yoga system is not a devotee at all. Devotees do not have such desires. However, if a karmi, jnani or yogi somehow contacts a devotee and renders devotional service, Krishna immediately wards him love of God and gives him shelter at his lotus feet, although he may have no idea how to develop love of Krishna. If a person wants material profit from devotional service, Krishna condemns such materialistic desires. To desire material opulence while engaging in devotional service is foolish. Although the person may be foolish, Krishna, being all intelligent, engages him in his devotional service in such a way that he gradually forgets material opulence. The point is that we should not try to exchange loving service for material prosperity. If we are actually surrendered to the lotus feet of Krishna, our only desire should be to satisfy Krishna. That is pure Krishna consciousness. Surrender means not that we demand something from the Lord, but that we completely depend on His mercy. If Krishna likes, He may keep His devotee in a poverty-stricken condition, or if He likes, He may keep him in an opulent position. The devotee should not be concerned in either case. He should simply be very serious about trying to satisfy the Lord by rendering Him service. The next verse in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is again cited from Srimad Bhagavatam. Satyam dishatartitam artito nirnang naivartado yat punar artita yataha svayam vidate bhajatam anichatam ichapidhanang nijapada pallavam. Whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desire, he undoubtedly does so. But he does not award anything which, after being enjoyed, will cause one to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. When one has other desires but engages in the Lord's service, Krishna forcibly gives one shelter at his lotus feet, where one will forget all other desires. Then next verse from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kama lagi Krishna bhaje pai Krishna roshe. Kama chari dasha hoite hoi abhilashe. When someone engages in Lord Krishna's devotional service for the satisfaction of the senses, and instead acquires a taste for serving Krishna, he gives up his material desires and willingly offers himself as an eternal servant of Krishna. So what are we to understand from this? It's all right to have material desires and take to devotional service. It's not really all right, because one cannot properly be a devotee at all if one has material desires. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the ocean of the nectar of Bhakti Rasa, the devotional, the ecstatic emotional feelings in devotional service. You may wonder, how is it an ocean? It's just a book this size. An ocean is huge. And how can we say it's an ocean? It's the portal into another dimension. It takes us into the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, into the great ocean. It is the ocean, or it's representative of the ocean, and it brings us into that ocean. But in the very beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami defines what is bhakti. Generally, people think bhakti is you worship some god, most popularly nowadays Sai Baba, it seems. You worship some, it's your feelings that you have. It can be guru bhakti, and then they have desh bhakti, and probably they may have this cricket team. What is that? Chennai Super Kings. What's the team here in Hyderabad? Anyone know? Deccan Chargers. So you may have Deccan Chargers bhakti. They may say like that. I don't know. The idea that whatever feelings you have, they have intense feelings. But bhakti, Rupa Goswami described, there's no bhakti ras in Deccan Chargers bhakti. It's something different. Some kind of feeling will be there, but it's not comparable to bhakti ras. The bhakti ras comes when there is pure devotional service. So from the very beginning, Rupa Goswami describes what is pure devotional service. Anya bhilashita shunyam jnana kama dinavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. Iha yasya hare dasya kamana manasagira nikilasvapyavastasu jivan mukta su uchate. Sarvopadi vinir muktam tatparat vena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchate. All these verses he quotes just at the beginning. I'm just presuming you all know the meanings of these verses. Maybe you don't. But anyway, they describe pure devotional service. And then as being without any personal desires, and he gives some of his own, only the desire to serve Krishna. And he gives his own verse also. I believe that's composed by Rupa Goswami. That bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hridi vartate tavat bhakti sukhasya tra katama bhudhayo bhavet. As long as the witches of desire for material enjoyment and awe Generally, they don't go together. Material enjoyment or impersonal liberation are within the heart. Then how can one taste the bliss of bhakti? So the amrita of bhakti, that is not the amrita of material enjoyment. The amrita of material enjoyment is viṣayendriya samyogam yattadagre mṛtopamam. Material enjoyment is the bliss of the senses interacting with the sense objects, but it's only bliss in the beginning, because what happens is that parināme viṣamiva, it becomes transformed into poison. Tatsukam rājasam smitam, that is happiness in the mode of passion. But bhakti ras is far, far beyond even the mode of goodness, what to speak of the mode of passion. That another symptom, the sandrananda viśeṣātmā, one of the symptoms of pure devotional service is that it situates one in intense bliss. But another characteristic of bhakti is that it's very powerful. Krishna is all attractive. So even if one engages in Krishna's devotional service with material desires, then one can become purified. Note the word here, tivrena. Here Srila Prabhupada translates as firm, elsewhere he translates it as intense. It's not that one has all material desires and just says Haribol once a day, and then all of a sudden he's transformed into a pure devotee. There has to be some intensity of service. How can one be engaged in devotional service? By the guidance of pure devotees. An example of someone coming from materialistic desire to pure devotional service was Dhruva Maharaj, but see how intensely he performed devotional service. He was given a program of intense devotional service. There may be various factors. Just I heard a narration of one Vaishnava Brahmin by caste who did what? When he got little older, what did he do? What do most Vaishnava Brahmins do? He went to America. That's the normal thing that young Vaishnava Brahmins do nowadays, and non-Vaishnavas, not to forget the smartas also. So he went to America, and his father or grandfather gave him the Shalagram Shila, family Shalagram Shila, to worship, which he didn't do. And he became a beef eater. But after some time, somehow or other, he got the idea, okay, let me, just in memory of his grandfather, let me do a little puja once a week. And that triggered something in him. Then he started to do twice a week, three times a week. Then he gave up beef eating and came to devotional service fully. So that may be that's reminiscent of Bilva Mangal Thakur, who in a previous life he'd come to a very high level of bhakti, but he had some gross material desires still somewhere in his heart. He indulged in them, and at some point he got the clue of pure devotional service and just left all that and came back to his proper position. Even then he wobbled a little bit before he got fully situated in pure devotion. So, someone who will take to devotional service with material desires means even to take to devotional service, they must have some pious background, generally speaking. There must be something there. Of course, that piety can be created simply by association with devotees. So, that's a vital factor, because unless one has association with devotees, he won't even have an idea to serve Krishna. And even if he has some idea, he won't know how to. So, although it's not mentioned in this particular few verses, that will be stressed. Our association with, actually it's already stressed it before this, association with devotees is the vital factor in devotional life. So someone may have all material desires, but they should be guided toward pure devotional service. Who will guide them? Devotees. So devotees, they have to preach the message of the Absolute Truth. To the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, distinguishing reality from illusion for the welfare of all. So we may think on reading this section that why don't we just tell everyone, chant Hare Krishna and you'll be top of your class. There's a problem with that. There are several problems with this proposition. One problem is that not everyone can be top of the class. So someone's going to say, hey, I chanted Hare Krishna and I got cheated. I didn't come top. Another problem is that it gives the idea of, instead of engaging ourselves in Krishna's service, that we engage Krishna in our service, which is opposite to bhakti, actually. Although Krishna, as he says here, is very kind, and if there's some kind of approach to him, he may reciprocate. He's not that necessarily, if I go, Krishna, make me a billionaire. Oh, okay. He's not that he's obliged to do anything. But his tendency is to reciprocate with people who come to him, but it might take a long time. And it might not happen at all in this lifetime. The vital factor is association with devotees who give us the proper guidance. But if the devotees go on telling everyone, oh, you have a legal problem, chant Hare Krishna. Actually, we may say that. You have a legal problem, chant Hare Krishna. But we don't, at least I won't say, chant Hare Krishna and your legal problem will be solved. We don't say that. Because how can we say that? That means if we preach like that, that means that we are trying to order Krishna to solve their legal problem. Or if we say, chant Hare Krishna, you'll get better marks. That means we're trying to order Krishna. Now you have to give him better marks in the exam. Once devotees did this with Back to Godhead magazine, they started putting things in that if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll get free from stress and you can do your job better, all materialistic inducements. And some devotees weren't very happy with this. They brought this to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's response was to change the editorial staff of Back to Godhead. And he said that we shouldn't induce people to chant Hare Krishna for material benefits, but inform them that by chanting Hare Krishna is meant for developing love of God. So they had this soft approach in which, and in the whole Back to Godhead, there was hardly any mention of Krishna. There are different articles about seeing God in nature, things like this, environmental crisis, but nothing about Krishna. So then they changed the staff and Back to Godhead became heavier than ever. And Prabhupada approved that. Although he didn't approve of showing pictures of cow slaughter or showing the history of the Christian religion, torturing Catholics, torturing Protestants, and Protestants torturing Catholics. He didn't approve of that. But he didn't approve of trying to give people material inducements to take up devotional service, because devotees have to tell people that, oh, you want to be top of your class. What's the point? Even if you become top of your class and then you get a so-called good job, what's the point? The very idea to become successful in this material world binds us in this material world. The very idea to want to be materially successful is the kind of idea that the devotees are supposed to teach people is not in their own self-interest. And teach them that you may be top of your class, and in the next life you may be in the bottom on the ground in the stool as a worm. Or even if you're Indra in the next life, which is very unlikely. But what's the value of that? Devotees should teach, there's nothing valuable in this world except Krishna, Krishna consciousness. We sung just 2 days ago, Nitai Charan Bina A Kichu Nahi Dhan. There's nothing of any value except the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. This we should teach. Not many people may come. But if they come, they'll be properly benefited. Or they may come, and they may say things like this, that, oh, by Krishna's grace, I was top of my class. So, we may not bang them on the head immediately. We may do also. You have to see. But we should explain to them that this desire for material enjoyment, that is antithetical to devotional service, is antithetical to our real self-interest. Otherwise, they may think, oh, I became top of the class by the mercy of Krishna, and then they preach to others. And then they all think, oh, let me chant Hare Krishna, and I'll be better in my work and my job and my studies. And then a whole misconception about devotional service is spread. So if some individual has this misunderstanding, the devotee who's merciful will try to relieve them from that understanding. Not that they'll try to perpetuate that misunderstanding. It is a misunderstanding. Krishna is very merciful and he helps those even who approach him with such a motive, particularly if they perform bhakti intensely. One thing about performing bhakti intensely is that one has to think of Krishna intensely, and then one becomes attracted to Krishna, and one has to hear the message of Bhagavatam, which itself is intense. Especially with the purports of Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, he brings out the essence. He doesn't let you ignore the striking facts that are stated in the Bhagavatam of the miseries of this material world and the foolishness of trying to be happy within it. He doesn't gloss over that, but rather he further explains it. So devotees shouldn't propagate this mixed devotional services. We welcome anyone who comes and chants Hare Krishna, but we're really interested in bringing people to the platform of pure devotional service. Ekas chandras tamohanti kim natara sahasrashah. There may be thousands and millions of people saying, well, I chanted Hare Krishna and I won the lottery. Actually, not millions of people say, but I chanted Hare Krishna, now I feel so much better. There may be. But we really want someone who said that I chanted Hare Krishna, now I understand I'm supposed to be Gopi Bhartur. Gopi Bhartur Pada kamalaya dasa dasa anudasaha. I'm supposed to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of the maintainer of the gopis, namely Krishna. But if we have the idea that I'm chanting Hare Krishna for some material benefit, we won't even get the idea that we're supposed to become the servant of Krishna. What to speak of becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. The idea is material. I got on top of the class and then I'm going to get on top of my job, top of my career. But the devotee's motive is to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Trinadapi sunichana. Anyway, we don't blame this boy. He's newly coming and it's not expected everyone can understand everything immediately, but he should be instructed that the real mercy of Krishna is to go beyond all material desires and fully surrender to him. And if you read this section, you may try to cultivate both side by side. But what happens is that someone who tries to cultivate both side by side, they find in their mind, either they redefine devotional service, that my career is my devotional service, and they're working hard with a personal ambition, and they say, actually it's bhakti. So that's a disservice to bhakti. Or they suffer from cognitive dissonance, which was a term that was recently applied on the internet to myself. It means when you're... So I looked it up to see what it meant. It means when you're doing something which you think is wrong, but in your mind you try to forget it. And try to... So you're telling yourself something is right, but actually in the back of your mind you know it's wrong. So one may be trying to become a material success, and at the same time going home and chanting Hare Krishna and reading Prabhupada's books, in which it says any attempt to enjoy this material world is simply nonsense. I'm paraphrasing. And then you go back and try to enjoy the material world, and then there comes a point. Usually Krishna arranges in the life of such neophyte devotees something that happens that just jerks them to devotional service. And it's usually something, it's usually very unpleasant. As in the case of Chitraketu Maharaj, for instance. His son had to die for him to get jolted with the help of Narad Muni, for him to get jolted into pure devotional service. Hare Krishna. Difficult to stay awake, huh? It's been a heavy weekend for the young boys. Yeah, any question or comment? Should we set it up tomorrow in another way? Maybe do it downstairs because the sun is shining in everyone's face. Hot sun, bright sun. Yeah, okay, Naruto.
When some students take up Krishna consciousness, they lose interest in studies.
When students take up Krishna consciousness, they lose interest in studies, and it becomes a logistic difficulty for us, because then they lose interest in studies, and then the college, then the parents become upset, they complain to the college authorities, and the college authorities want to stop us doing programs. And other students see also that they're going down in their studies. So they think, this is bad. I won't take to Krishna consciousness. So what do we do? I guess in such a situation, you can tell them to go on with their studies just as some practicality. Even though you know it's nonsense, by studying Prabhupada's books, you know it has no real meaning, but just as a strategic move, you can go on with it. What do you think? What's your opinion about this?
And some preachers, they encourage, because this is still devotional service, but they encourage other students, so they push, they have marks.
Yeah, they say it becomes your devotional service. I guess in that sense it could be said to be, but you're doing it just to facilitate the preaching of Krishna consciousness. But then, without a clear understanding of how it's devotional service, then it introduces a very materialistic, philosophically incorrect understanding of devotional service. If someone is committed to Krishna consciousness, but they go on with their studies as a strategic move so that our preaching isn't impeded, that could be called indirectly devotional service. But if we preach to everyone, your study is devotional service, without understanding this and having that commitment, then they misunderstand their material endeavors for so-called success to be the same as pure devotional service, transcendental to all material desires. So it becomes a disservice to preach like that. We propagate a wrong understanding of Krishna consciousness. And definitely as we promote these farm communities more and more, then people will leave their good jobs in the city and go to the country, and people say, oh, they're failures, they're spoiling this Krishna conscious movement, they don't had a good career and they're spoiling it all. We're going to have to deal with that. It may be that our own devotees will complain, oh, you're spoiling the preaching because you're giving us a bad name by taking people over. They worked so hard to get a good job and they had a good career and they were respected and they could preach from that situation. Anyway, this will go on. There's always going to be some tension between neophyte devotees and Madhyamadhikari devotees. Madhyamadhikaris are those who are wanting to practice Krishna consciousness on a pure level. And neophyte means materialistic devotee. It's a very different outlook, actually. Yeah. One who changes the definition of bhakti. They may not even purposefully do it. They may not even be aware. They may not be so deep in understanding that they even have any idea of what is Vaishnava Siddhanta, the importance of Vaishnava Siddhanta. Generally people who do this, they have a very superficial approach. They haven't gone very deeply. That's the another way to describe a neophyte devotee. Among the two of who? Which two?
The second case is where one has this cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
So can that devotee said to be practicing bhakti tivra and not the first one?
Well, it depends if they're actually practicing with intensity. If they're practicing intensely, yes. If they take their career first and I do a little bhakti to help me along with it, well, that's not tivra bhakti. If one's sincerely endeavoring in devotional service, as much as one sincerely endeavors, that can be called bhakti tivrata, intensity in devotional service. Yeah. Does tivra bhakti mean in focusing on improving, increasing the quantity or increasing the quality? Both. Definitely, if one is very serious about Krishna consciousness, he'll want to increase both the quantity and the quality, not one at the expense of the other, or one without the other. Hare Krishna. Oh, you have a question also? Sometimes Srila Prabhupada said you don't have to change your position to practice Krishna. You can be a businessman, yeah? Sometimes he says that, yeah. You can be. He was a businessman from the superficial point of view, but he was engaging in tivra bhakti. But he wasn't cultivating material desires. He had the idea, he explained, that I will earn money and use that for preaching Krishna consciousness. And he did that, even though he wasn't earning so much. He made this Back to Godhead magazine with his own earnings, first of all, money in household life. Yeah.
You are in Krishna consciousness from past four decades. May I know your status in Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with the discussion today. My status in Krishna consciousness after 40 or so years, which is just a blip in time. Status is, we're trying. That's all. Prabhupada's mercy, I'm still here. That I can say. Okay, Hare Krishna. We'll finish now. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.